Sorry, I'm a bit kind of groggy. I don't know, maybe my meds. But thank the Lord that I'm here, because I was really in pain yesterday with my right foot. You know, I don't know what I've eaten, but this leg was really bothering me. But I give this time to the Lord. You know, I'll give my best to stand up here and to share the word of God to you guys. Okay? All right. And my message this morning is about growing and maturing. Why we need to grow and why we need to mature. And there are reasons for that. And I put down here, this is not all the reasons, but this is just some of the reasons. So reason is why we need to grow and mature in our faith in the Lord is one, it will keep us from being ineffective and fruitful. Ineffective meaning as a believer, we need to be a beacon of light to the people so that they come to know the Lord. We become ineffective and unfruitful if we don't grow and mature in our faith in the Lord. Okay? Second is mature believers are a blessing and not a stumbling block to others. We need to be a blessing. And maturity is needed there. Thirdly, we are more prepared to deal with the ever-evolving challenges to the Christian faith. There's so many challenges nowadays, you know, unlike before. You see that the right seems to be wrong already, and the wrong becomes the right. So you need to be very, you know, updated on how to tackle these issues in our society. And fourthly, it will allow us to reach our full potential as a believer. We have that capability that the Lord is putting into our hearts. He, before the foundation of the world, He has already set before us the missions in our lives, the purpose of why you are here. So it's very important that we reach that full potential. So examples of people who grow and mature in their faith are like Peter. You know Peter, from an ordinary fisherman to be a fisher of men. And he was the one who told us in 2 Peter chapter, I think chapter 2 or chapter 3, verse 18, where it says, you should grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what about John the Baptist? He was just from a wild, unknown man to become the greatest prophet of all. That's what Jesus said, told him. What about Moses and David? They were just shepherds, but they become famous leaders. And finally, Jesus Christ. This is our ultimate example. Jesus Christ. So if we want to grow and mature, we have to look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our passage this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 41 and 252. So let's read this verse. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. So they used to go to Jerusalem for this feast of the Passover. The Passover consists of the first day is the Passover, and the other days are the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So it's a seven-day feast. So they used to go there every year. And in verse 43, and when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. So you would see there were pilgrims, they go there to Jerusalem with all their belongings, their food, and the camels, their chariots or, you know, donkeys. So they were bringing all of these things. So they have some stuff there for their sacrifice. And then when they go back, they have to unload some stuff, but they need to bring some food also along the journey. So it's kind of an event for them to travel. You know, it's not like in our days. But the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. So they did not notice this. In fact, it says his parents did not know it because there's so much people in the crowd, you know, traveling on the same road, going to back to their town in Nazareth. And verse 44, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. So they already went in a day's journey, maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 days towards Nazareth. So when they realized, but when they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. So notice, oh, where's our son, Jesus? And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. So Jesus, you know, apparently said maybe Jesus was left behind. So after 3 days, they found him in the temple. So 3 days because back to Nazareth, they went a day's journey, another day's journey back to Jerusalem, and then another day looking for Jesus. So on the third day, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. What did he do there? Sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. So it's kind of very engaged. Jesus was so engaged with the teachers in the temple. So, and then verse 47, and all who heard were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So he had some questions and he also answered some questions. So kind of interactions there. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And verse 50. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. So all throughout the scripture, you would notice that whenever there's some discussions about Jesus and their parents and the brothers, they did not understand Jesus. So it's kind of still vague to them what Jesus is doing. And in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. I love this verse because if you'd see verse 49, he was just kind of interacting with his parents in an unusual manner, you know, especially among Filipinos, among us, we don't say those words directly to our parents. But the good thing is Luke mentioned here that he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. His mother. And verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So, Jesus gave priority into 4 areas of growth here in verse 52, where it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So, the 4 areas that we're going to study are growing mentally. Jesus grows mentally, he grows physically and spiritually and socially. So his growth was noticed by his parents, of course, the teachers in the temple and other people. His growth started at the age of 12 and continued on through the silent years of his life till he reached 30 years old when he started his public ministry. So a very good example to all of us. 12 years old, now his heart is, he was attracted by the temple in the preaching there. That's why he stayed there. And it's good for us because as I meditate upon this chapter, why did God allow to learn from the teachers, listening I mean, we believe that God is fully 100% man and 100% God, the Lord Jesus. And I think I was really like broken that the Lord just allowed himself to be an example to all of us, that this is the way to go, that we need to be serious about, you know, understanding God's word. He started at the age of 12. So why 30? At the age of 30, from 12 years old to 30, that's how we call that the silent years of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know what happened after that. We only the next thing that happened is already ministering. He was baptized by John and then started his ministry. So it was a long process for God, Heavenly Father. This is God's Father's perfect timing. Perhaps we can guess that since Jesus' ministry will be on a preaching and teaching and healing, it would be helpful for the Jewish people that their Messiah is a rabbi. So that's why, because the age of 30 is where you're going to start, you can be qualified as a rabbi. That's just some commentators say that. His ministry only took 3 years, but God's preparation for his son took many years, 30 years. When God called Moses, he was about 40 years old, then took another 40 years to grow and develop personally through the Midian Desert University, I call it. Because that's where Moses was being. It's a different story. So there's so many people in the Bible, if you study their lives, how God used them, it was a lot of preparation. And it took them longer because it depends on your situation. Like Moses, he was called by God with so much knowledge about the Egyptian culture. So God has to unlearn those things. He has to go into there from being a leader, because he was just being brought up as a leader because he is the son of the Pharaoh, supposed to be. But no, he's not the son. He was just kind of adopted. So the unlearning process took so many years for him. So he needs to learn from the desert in Media about shepherding, because God has prepared him to become a leader to bring the people out of Egypt. Many times the Lord God let us go through longer periods of time for personal development rather than the actual work itself. Like, can you imagine 30 years of Jesus, silent years, developing 3 years of ministry? God is as concerned with the worker as the actual ministry. But not many of us are called to be a rabbi or a pastor or evangelist or prophet or teacher, but all of us have a calling that requires our personal development. So what is my calling? What is your calling? What is my mission in life? And we know there's so many verses in the Bible that speaks to that. But I'd just like to quote two Sundays ago, Pastor Steve mentioned about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for its own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So this verse speaks of two things. One, what God is doing to us. What God is doing, he said, but you are chosen by God. You are a chosen race. And then the second part, that you may proclaim the excellence, the praises of him. So that is our mission in life, that we will declare the goodness of God in the lives of people. So this verse is telling us that God chooses and qualifies the worker but we His workers need to cooperate by doing our part. In the same way that Jesus gave priority to these four areas of growth, we need to do the same. As I told you, I think the Lord is giving us an example. He went through this journey of learning, you know, going through those continued learning and teaching until the time when the Lord just called him for that ministry. So let's go to the first area, and that is growing mentally. So growing mentally meaning increasing in wisdom. So where do we find wisdom, and how do we increase in wisdom? That's found in verse 46 in our study. In verse 46, it says there that they found in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. So Jesus had a place to go, and that is the temple, right? He went to the temple. He frequently goes there. This is not the first time he goes there. And then he has also the people to be with, and they are the teachers. And there's a process for him to learn, and that is by listening and asking questions. So Jesus gave priority to listen and understand God's word by asking questions. Author Doug Larson said this, "Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you have preferred to talk." It's always good to listen. That is what Jesus was doing. I mean, he is God. At the age of 12, he knows already. That's why they were so amazed. They were astonished at this understanding, verse 47. But he allowed this process for us as an example. As a human being, Jesus set us an example to follow. Therefore, we should go to a church where the Word of God is taught, and you have an avenue to ask questions. So always that way. So we always give time for people to ask questions. Maybe not this time. Maybe after, and Rick will answer. Or the Friday night Bible study. We come here to church to listen unto the teaching and seeking to understand God's words. That's the point. Because Jesus did not just go there just to do the motion of going there. You know, the pilgrims are going there in the temple here and there, but he's going there is intentional, and that is to listen and understand God's word. Now, listening and understanding God's word gain knowledge, right? We gain knowledge when we listen and understand, but in order to gain wisdom, we need to apply the principles that we learn. See, our teaching here is we teach as much as possible the principles of God. Furthermore, wisdom is being able to correctly use the knowledge we receive and understand our choices and make good decisions. That's wisdom. So wisdom allows you to choose the best choice when you are in these three kinds of situations. I just put here three, maybe there's fourth or fifth. So number one, when you are in a situation where whether you obey or not obey or disobey. See, we all experience that when we obey God's word, we reap good benefits. But when we disobey it, we reap bad consequences. The good thing is we don't need to suffer the consequences. Just choose to obey God's word. Choosing to obey God's word is the ultimate wisdom. So the second one is we are in a situation where it's not an issue about obeying or disobeying God. So what will we do? We need wisdom. So in situations like this, we need the peace of God. Because you are in a situation that you really need the peace of God. Which one is the right one? We need the peace of God as we make the right choice. Dallas Willard defines wisdom as the settled disposition of the soul to act in accordance with knowledge. So you have that peace. And we ask God for peace. So that's why everything comes from God. All these things, all this wisdom comes from God. And then the third one, you are in a situation where things and situations are not explicitly mentioned in the Bible. Well, there's a man who once lived in this world, considered the wisest man that ever lived in Israel, or maybe in the whole world. This man studied the daily course of one's life under the sun with great insights. And we know his name, Solomon. So the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. It's a compilation of practical living based on godly principles. That's why it is called also the book of wisdom. So we can refer to that book. And Solomon had asked wisdom, we know that, so that he can lead and govern the nation in a way that pleases the Lord. So he asked the right way, because everything that he asked is about honoring the Lord. That's what we should do. And everything that we do, it's not bad to ask wisdom in exams, in everything. James chapter 1 is another book of wisdom. It says there in the first chapter, if anyone of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. Even if you committed a mistake, God will not account that when you ask for that wisdom that you need. So other wisdom book, Job, Ecclesiastes. Job had lots of experience. So a lot of people with experience have wisdom. That's why if we grow and mature, as we grow older, we become more wiser. Because wisdom is related to your experience in life. Sometimes you learn from your mistakes, and that's how you learn. You develop wisdom. And Song of Solomon, I don't know if you've read through your Song of Solomon, but there's wisdom there. James, and of course, the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's wisdom. So aside from growing in wisdom, we need to grow physically. What? Well, we stop growing. After what? After how many years? After what age are you? 25? So 21? Well, there's a time that we stop growing. Physically, as a 12-year-old boy, Jesus was growing in stature, but after we stop growing, our body starts maturing and need to be taken care of. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. So this verse says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Excuse me. So the responsibility to take care of our body is our way of honoring the owner of our body, who is God. There are several ways to take care of our bodies. Hey guys, young men might seem this might seem to you no-brainer, but for us, we're getting older, we need to be serious. Because I said here, eating the right food, right kind of food. There's a verse that I'm going to share, and that's 1 Corinthians 10:23. And I'm reading it from the New International Version. It says here, "I have the right to do anything you say." Because the Corinthians were saying that, "I have the right to do anything. But not everything is beneficial. Not everything is constructive. You see, that chapter talks about food, but in a different context. It's about food sacrificed to idols, which is good or not good. So, but Paul was saying, if you bless the food, you pray for the food, and that's fine, that's good. But what is wrong is if your brother is hurt by what you're eating. So that's the context there. And then, so Paul was saying, yes, we have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial for us. So we have the right to eat all kinds of fats and all kinds of food, burgers, sugar, everything. But not everything is beneficial. That's what this verse is telling us. Not everything is constructive, but rather destructive. So we need to be careful about what we were eating, you know, giving us wisdom. That's why it's good that we already learned wisdom. Now, choosing the right thing. So this is the application now of our bodies. And then number two, we need to take rest. Like in Matthew 8, verse 23 and 24, Jesus was so busy during that day, and they need to rest into a boat. So they get into the boat, and then Jesus was found resting. This verse, it says here, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. Jesus found time even in resting, in the busyness of their ministry. And he also did that one to his disciples. He said because the disciples were so busy, they were so busy attending to the people. And this is what they said in Mark chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. You don't have to read there, but I'm going to read this for you. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. See? So they were so busy, but the Lord Jesus gave them instruction, come away by yourselves and go to a desolate place and rest. Have some rest, please. That's what the Lord's doing. So the Lord Jesus, in his ministry, is taking care about their health, about their physical stature. And then the third thing that I want to share with you, and this is more like our soul, because our soul affects our bodies. And it says here in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We all know that when we are down in the inside emotionally, it will affect our bodies. Number four, it can affect our body. Anxiety can affect our body. So do not let anxiety reign in your life. But what should we do? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That's famous verse for all of us. We can memorize that because it says there, it's good for us. It says, in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the peace of God will come to us. No more anxiety. The problem might be there, but the anxiety should go out. Number five, avoiding stress. This is the result of wrong pursuits like money or possessions. Of course, there's some stress. Job, you know, so busy doing things. But people have wrong pursuits in life. Eager for money or love for money or possessions. And Hebrews 13, verse 5 reminds us that keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So while we grow in wisdom, let's not neglect our physical bodies, please. In order for us to serve God and those around us, we must maintain the health of our bodies. to be effective also. So this is a reminder to all of us who had gone past 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, that our bodies are slowing down. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, and I memorized that one because that's there's a really cool verse. It says, though our bodies are wasting away, but our inner self are being renewed day by day. So Paul already mentions that our bodies are wasting away, but we need to be encouraged that our inner selves are being renewed day by day. Okay, so the third part of our area of growth area in our lives is growing spiritually, because Jesus found favor with God. That's growing spiritually. So obedience to his earthly parents and heavenly father is the hallmark of our Lord Jesus. When his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, asked him why he stayed back in the temple, his reply in verse 49 says, and I'm reading from a different version, I think it's ESV, or it says, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? It says, father's house, father's business. So at the early age, the boy Jesus already set a good starting point for the rest of his life, that of pursuing God's calling for his life. Then later on, as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God humbled himself and he became obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. In John 3:16, we know that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That verse, it takes love to obey the commandment of God, even to the point of death. So love is very important here. For us to grow spiritually, we need to develop that love for the Father. That's how Jesus, he was attracted to the temple teachings. Then later on, throughout, he continues to grow in spiritually. He developed that love. That's how God prepared him for the cross. Because it takes love to obey the commandment of God. When you have a mission in life, you have a commandment from God, it takes love to obey it. So we develop that love for God. In the same way, if we want to grow spiritually, we need to lead a life of obedience and total surrender to God. I love this verse in John 15, verse 9 to 10, where it says, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I love this verse. You see, if we meditate on that, the Lord loves us. The Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord Jesus loved us and cared for us? Our obedience to God must be born out of our love for him. So we grow in obedience and we go also in love. And the hallmark of a Christian, we know that. What is that? John 13, verse 35. My disciples are known if they love one another. That's the hallmark of the Christian, to love one another. And Proverbs 3, verse 3 to 4, I love this verse too because it talks about love. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. See? Steadfast love and faithfulness, obedience. That's how we gain favor with God. Obedience, love for God. And Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says here, let your roots grow down deep, grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So when our lives are built up on Jesus, our faith will grow strong. When we experience growth, we will overflow with thankfulness. That's one reason why we need to grow and mature. We would be more thankful and overflowing with thankfulness to God. The last part, the area we need to grow is we need to grow socially. I'm not saying that we need to post more Facebook pages or TikTok. That's not saying here. Jesus grew in favor with God and in favor with man. Jesus won the favor of man by seeking the favor of God first. He was obedient to the Heavenly Father first, then became submissive to his parents too. And look at verse 51 in the passage that we have read. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And it says there, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. So his mother was blessed. She treasured that in her heart, what happened to her son. And it's a lesson for us. If we are obedient to God, somebody around us is going to be blessed by our lives. So Jesus is known for being a friend of both saints and sinners. Jesus draws a lot of crowd because they have been ministered to. Jesus saw their need and he dealt with it head on. He saw their spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. And that's what we should do also. That we would be mindful of the needs of others. That's how we grow socially. When our lives are pleasing to the Lord, it is very natural that we find favor also with men. People will be attracted to us and they will like our company. They will like our company. I love this verse, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. What does it say there? It says there, this is a prophecy for the Jewish people. Might not be because we believe that this will happen after we were raptured. This people, the Jewish nation, who are now very disobedient to God, they'll become obedient later on. And this is the prophecy of Zechariah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Amazing, awesome. And we believers here, we are doing that. People are attracted because we have Jesus in our lives. So in summary, the four things. Growing mentally is increasing in wisdom, involves a commitment to learn God's word by being in the right place, surround yourself with the right people, and seeking to understand the truth by listening and asking questions. And then growing physically involves maintaining the health of our bodies in order to effectively serve God. And realizing that 2 Corinthians 4:16, the one I just read, is bound to happen. Our bodies are wasting, but we can still serve God with the limping legs like me, weak eyesight like Rick, aching bodies and all your achy, breaky hearts, all those things, we can still serve the Lord. All right? And growing spiritually is a process of deepening our love for God. We grow and mature if we keep His commandments. And finally, growing socially means as we minister to people, our circle of influence will continue to grow naturally. Let's pray.